almost out of gas.
Say, this is Faith 601. Present is Pastor Mike and Teresa.
And Chip Therese. Everybody else is
gone.
On vacation.
Mike and Jen are gone on vacation. They're up in Minnesota, I think.
Oh, I bet it's nice and cool up there, too.
I bet it is, too.
More bites of apple.
All right.
Well, how far did we get? I'm trying to remember.
We got down almost down to the very end of the first page.
I don't know if we got all to. We were doing a lot of dust eating and belly crawling and all that kind of stuff, weren't we?
Yes, we were. But we were talking about the hatred between Satan and the woman.
Well, let's do it.
All right.
Swallowing the rest of this apple.
Take your time. I wouldn't want you to choke.
There are some things here that we need to look at, obviously. We looked at last time eating dust, what that means. Remember what that means?
Well, yeah, it's a bad thing. I mean,
do you remember what it meant, though? It wasn't so much that the snake eats dust, it was that he's humiliated. Remember the. If you look up the passage in Isaiah.
Both and the lamb shall feed together in the light. Oh, because he'll still be like that in heaven.
I'm in Micah 7:17, way at the back of the Old Testament. So.
And the dust shall be the serpent. Yes, and we were discussing why it's not fair to the snake because it's not his fault.
Right. And then we talked about how in Genesis chapter 9, animals are held responsible. If animals harm men, they are held responsible.
Even though he put it in animals to attack people or attack others or whatever.
Actually, he put it in animals not to attack men. But there is a fear. We definitely do have a fear. Animals have a fear of ice and something to be after them. Isn't that crazy?
Like a tiger or a wolf or something?
No. Like a coyote? Packs?
You know, owls attack dogs.
But they're big enough.
Yeah.
They're huge. Golly, I used to call those owls in. I would call them in. Trying to call coyotes in. But
they're big with wingspans on them.
They're huge. In Genesis chapter 9, God does a little trick here, and he puts the fear of you, and it is really true, even big bears, I mean, if you're in the woods, and a bear up next to a deer, a bear would have absolutely no fear of a deer whatsoever. In fact, it would look at the deer as food, and would probably come after it. But even giant elephants and bears have a... Now, it doesn't say they don't kill, but they have an innate fear of us. And that goes all the way down to the smallest...
Even thing. Elephants?
Oh, yeah.
How do we manage to ride them?
Well, no. I mean, you can tame animals. I mean, there's a tame part. But if you take a wild animal, they have to really train those Indian elephants. We're in India.
Yeah, to be able to ride it.
Oh, yeah.
So, I thought they just hopped on him and took off.
Oh, no. No. No, but if you look at these big African elephants and all that kind of stuff, they are always like this with people. They're like, and it takes away raising from cubs or babies in order for anything to... Could there be any type of connection?
So how did we manage to tame dogs and cats?
I mean, that's it. I mean, we, as we develop them, they, I mean, you put them back out in the woods. And, but, you know, I've often wondered about that because I'm like, well, what do you, okay, if the fear of you is in, like, what does that mean when lions go bad? Or like that tiger in India that killed 750 people?
That work.
Well, and that's what I think is, I mean, it's still a product of the fall. Okay, you're going to have animals that start out that way, but something happens. But the fact of the matter is, and here's the fact, what if all the tigers in the world were like that?
We'd be all dead.
Yeah, because number one, we can't run fast. No. Not like a deer. No. We don't have a tough hide.
No.
It's like, it's probably the animals, it's probably like hips. Meat just falls off the bone. We don't have teeth that can do any amount of damage.
Well, the only thing we have, like, for a weapon would be, like, if we had a gun or something.
Well, I know. This is our intellect, is our...
Right.
You know, we're able to do that with weapons and stuff, but if it comes down to...
facing each other without anything.
They got all the teeth in the apparatus to tear you apart. But anyway, you look at that and you go, wait a minute, man. In the book of Revelation, it talks about a third of the population is killed by wild animals. I wonder if that is... All right. So anyway, there's a whole animal thing. Very weird. But nevertheless, it's there. With Satan, we got hatred between he and the woman. Talk a lot about that. Hatred meets its final end with Satan's final person that he brings. And you read enough of the back to Left Behind series. Oh, that was on.
It was?
Yes, it was.
Where was that?
It was on, I think it was the Inspiration Channel.
Oh, that makes me mad. Well, of course, I was watching the race, so.
Yeah. Okay. That was a well-done movie. You ever watch it?
No.
You never saw the movie?
No, I've never seen the movie.
Dang, there's two of them. There's Left Behind and there's Tribulation Force.
Are they on DVD?
Oh, yeah. A really good job of the rapture. Rayford is in a plane, and it's Tom Berenger. You know who Tom Berenger is? He's Rayford. Kirk Cameron's wife is Hattie. Buck is Kirk Cameron. And they're all in the same plane together. And they're flying. And you see the kind of the relationship between Hattie and Rayford going on. And all of a sudden, it's this old lady's sitting here, and she goes, Raymond? Raymond, where are you? And
well, they pretty much went by the book.
Yeah.
Because that's the way the book is.
Yeah. And Hattie's like, what? And so, and then a lady stands up and she's like, where are my kids? Where are my kids? You know, and then it's just chaos. Daughter, what was her name?
Chloe.
Chloe is on the ground and she's driving. And there's a huge accident as a semi-driver. And this guy is wandering around, his head bleeding. He's going, he opens the door, and there's a flannel shirt and pants.
Shoes.
Shoes. Yeah. It's crazy. But they really did a good job. It wasn't like Thief in the Night. And they used for Carpathia. Dude, he just looks...
Really?
Yeah, he's just he has this cocky actor's name, but he is good looking, and he's very humanitarian at first, you know. And they're like, well, now Nikolai Carpathian, the United Nations, and about this incident, and he's like, we have to. There is no excuse now. We have to have peace.
and it must start now. And so everybody's like, what do? We're looking at this guy.
Because he's got charisma, and he's got that thing of where everybody just trusts him. Yes.
Yeah, and the part where, and there's these two other guys that are kind of like helping him. I can't remember those two other guys. Who's calling? But the two other guys think they think they're Nithya is a puppet, but in actuality, they're the puppets.
They're the puppets.
And something happens to the one guy, and then the other guy. Let's see. No. I can't remember how that works. It's the meeting. This is like halfway through, and Carpathia comes into the room, and the guy is resisting him or something like that. And he looks at the guy and says, you have two choices. You can follow me or shoot yourself.
And he shot himself.
And he shoots himself. And everybody's like, he's there, and the Jewish dude.
Oh, what was his name?
Chaim.
Chaim.
Yeah. He's in there, and Kirk Cameron has just accepted Christ.
Mm-hmm. He was scared because he was in the bathroom,
yes.
And he was sitting there going, I am not going to be able to do this, and he was like freaking out.
So he comes back in, he's accepted Christ, and he comes back in, and then this whole scene unfolds. And then Carpathia walks around the table, and he goes, this is most unfortunate. I tried to stop him, but he took his own life. Horrible. It's horrible. And everybody's going, horrible.
Yeah, and Buck's sitting there going,
yeah. He goes, didn't you? And he goes up the chain, and he goes, what did you see in there? And he goes, oh, the poor man. He goes, it is horrible. He killed himself. And he's like, well, he didn't. Antichrist shot him. Actually, I think it was the Antichrist that shot him.
Yeah, because there was two guys.
Yeah, one guy shot himself, and the other guy shot him. And then, anyway, the actor that they have is like this. He's like, he's got that, he just has that right, haughty, disgusting look. You know?
Like, I'm it, and everybody else is nothing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Golly. It's just crazy. I like that part in Left Behind series where it's like way down the tribulation road. And Carpathia and that prophet dude, they're underground, and it's really super hot. And all of a sudden, Carpathia starts getting really old looking, and his skin gets paper thin, and it's like he just wilts in his suit, and that light appears on the table.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. It's big old light, and everybody's just, freaking out.
Yeah. We all know who that was.
Oh, of course. I like the very end when Jesus is having a big old fight going on and all this stuff, and he's just saying, the Bible verses and stuff like that, and everybody's just falling.
Yeah.
Like,
And the Antichrist, the false prophet, are running.
Yeah.
And Leo, the Antichrist gets in, and the whole blood is like this hot.
Uh-huh.
And the Antichrist floors it, and Leo goes, all the blood gets all over his. He's trying to push him out.
Yeah,
so that was great. and then they're over, and that's all there is to it with those folk guys. All right. So yeah, that was. That's why I said that. So the final end is this guy Christ, and then the woman's seed, who is obviously God's program.
Do you think way back then, when this all happened with Eve, that Satan knew that this was what was going to come from the woman, and that's why he hated?
That's why you see. That's why you see this situation created in Genesis 6. because he has already been informed in Genesis 3 that, we look here, it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. In other words, the devil knew that somebody was going to come and crush his head. And so his next strategy was pollute the race, infiltrate the race of man with his seed, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
So this seed would never show. Because if that were to happen, you know, if, you know, here's all the people of the world, okay, and these demonic angels came down, cohabitated with women, and they were able to get everybody. All these Nephilim, however many thousands, were all killed
in the flood.
So at this point,
Noah was a pretty important dude, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was. Now, this was a big... You know what's interesting with this is that this is your typical... It's your typical... Do one for the Gipper. You know, whatever deceit Satan used to deceive the evil angels to leave their boundaries. Interesting is those evil angels that did that, they are bound in darkness right now. And so they're down there going... We took one for the Gipper.
Yeah, where's he at now?
Right, even here. You know, so even the evil angels get deceived. Everybody's deceiving everybody. It's horrid, man. And so you got talks about these demons that are in Tartarus, that are in the abyss, because they did not remain in their place. And they are chained for darkness, in darkness, till the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
So, Satan puts the, you know, it's your typical, I mean, we see this action with people all the time. You know, hey guys, do this, and da-da-da-da-da, and I promise you that this will be the situation in the end. Rewarded for this.
Lies.
Yes,
lies.
And they go out and do the bidding, and then they get nailed. And the head boss gets off free.
Yeah, it's like a drug cartel or something.
Exactly.
you got the mob going, you got the mob head down here, and all these little guys down here that are all getting nailed all the time.
Yeah, and they're up getting fat. Not the... Jeez. I mean, Therese, that should... If you didn't believe in God, if the person didn't believe in God, that would be enough to go, golly, boy, there is some weird stuff that I can't explain through. It just, I mean, it just doesn't, there's no reason for it. There's no, why would people be like that? Why is that bad? Why do most people look at that as not fair?
And greed. Greed is just so overwhelming, it's not even funny. I hear it every day.
Yeah.
Every day on the day.
Why would evolution make people like that? Why not just neutral?
Yeah.
Just, we exist, and that's what we do. We're neither good nor bad. Anyway, Messiah would crush Satan's head, and we see this. Let's look at Hebrews 2:14. This stuff is all over the place.
I'm so proud of myself, though. I'm getting to know where all the books are at.
That's pretty cool. I like how you're doing that. I'm racing you here. What does that say? 2:14 and 15.
For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of the death were all their lifetime subject to bondage.
Hmm. There you go. He destroyed. That's interesting. He himself likewise shared the same, that through death he Edomite destroyed him who had the power of them. There was a handing over of keys. Not a handing over, but a taking. Because it says Jesus now has those keys.
So when he died on the cross and arose.
Oh, you know what? In that passage, the passage that says he disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public spectacle of them. Colossians, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. He wiped out the handwriting of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision, died together with him, having forgiven you all sins, and having wiped out the law that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken that cross, is where they were disarmed. And obviously something did happen, Trace, because you look at, like we were talking about last week, in Acts. In the book of Acts, there's an incident. 11 sons of one of the priests named Sceva, and they're actually Jewish exorcists that have made their living casting out demons.
Mm-hmm.
But what's interesting is prior to the cross, it was extremely difficult to cast them out. It doesn't look like you could. Or if you did, it was very rare.
So after the cross is when it was easier to cast them out?
Yeah, in fact, it was so noticeable that these unsaved guys said, you know what, I'm watching this Paul dude and him incantation. They're like, let's try it. It's putting us out of business. And so there was a demon-possessed man in the house, and we talked about this last week, and they said, we command you by the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out of this man. And the guy looked at him and said, Jesus, I know, Paul, I know, but who are you? And then he proceeded to beat him until they had all fled naked and bleeding. Well, I something changed, Therese. I mean, something, and I really believe that's the passage. I think they were stripped. I think they were disarmed. Can they still do damage? Yes, if you allow them to. Do they do mischief? Of course. But the name of Christ is now so scary to them that it says resist the devil and he will flee.
Then why does he think that really at the end he's going to be able to win?
Because sin makes you crazy. He flees, but yet he knows. He knows and then he flees.
I mean, it's like, you know, why? You're stupid.
it's insanity.
It must be.
Yeah. He once was this wise creature of some sort, a cherub, guardian cherub. And what's funny is when Jesus, if you see Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, Jesus keeps casting demons out of people, and people are amazed because they go, he just says it with a word, and because they weren't used to that. They were used to this long, drawn out, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, and most of the times it doesn't. And
well, a lot of times he didn't even say anything; he just touched them, didn't he?
Well, yeah, they'd be healing him from a disease.
Yeah.
But with the demons, I mean, it was like this was something totally new to the Jewish people.
And why is it so hard for people to believe when they see it?
Because they have a veil over their eyes. It's not an intellectual problem, it's a spiritual problem. They almost cannot see. Okay, let's look at some more here. Look at Romans 6.
Do you think the people in heaven know when the Jesus is coming? Yeah. I mean, Paul and all the people that Noah and all the people that are up there, Moses. Do they know?
I don't think they do.
Because Jesus says that. That he even said, of times and places, you are not to concern yourself with. Because they asked, is this the time, God, when you will restore the kingdom to us? That was Acts chapter 1. And there's another part where Jesus said, only the Father knows. Now, whether that has changed now and Jesus does know, I don't know.
See, that's what my problem. If I was up in heaven, I'd be sitting there bugging him. All right,
oh, no. Oh, here comes Therese again. Therese, listen. You can't know. It'll happen when it happens.
Okay, Dad. Sorry.
Golly. Now, I'm not going to talk to you about this again. Somehow their feet are going to... Now, I don't know if this was these believers in Rome who that was Paul's way of saying, remember, someday the wicked one will be crushed. Because it does use shortly. And we think of shortly.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. An hour.
Yeah.
An hour from now. Mm-hmm. So far it's been 2,000 years. Actually, 1,979 years. the very end of the end.
And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
There it is. Notice who's already there.
I was going to say, so technically there's three that's going to be done. Because the devil is inside of Antichrist, and Antichrist goes with the false prophet first, and then the devil goes afterwards.
Yep. So they are the first three that go in. Now, what's interesting is here is your Genesis 6 again. Who gets to go in before the devil? His pawns.
Yeah, the people that...
He deceived.
He deceived, which is not their fault. So it's not fair.
See? Is it Judas's fault?
No. Yes. I don't know.
It is.
They allowed it to happen, I guess. Even though they really didn't have any... Well, they did too have a choice.
God says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Period. Whoever means whoever. But this Antichrist is a person, and so is the false prophet.
The Antichrist just has the devil possession going on.
Exactly. He's literally being empowered by Satan.
And the false prophet. How does he manage to have all that power?
Because
Satan give it to him?
Well, yeah. But he can only do the stuff when he's around the Antichrist.
Well.
When he's in the presence of the Antichrist, he can literally call fire down from heaven. So they're very pompous. They're very arrogant. Cheap tricks. Call fire down from the sky? God already did that. God made the fire. God made the sky. God made the earth where the fire went onto the ground. You know? So the Antichrist does that, where he calls fire down from heaven, and he can make this statue speak.
Yeah.
And he forces people to, you know, put some sort of boot on them where they're, you know, loud. But they are held fully responsible, and they are cast alive into the lake of fire.
Ew.
They surpass the great white throne. They're already judged, and they are
free. No, I don't understand something about the great white throne. I mean, I understand that we're actually, you know, put judged and by what we've done and what we haven't done. But if he forgives everything, why do we have to be judged?
Because we're not at the great white throne. Believers aren't there. I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. Is that us? Is that us? And there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they did, by the things that were written in the books.
The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them.
So
everybody who's dead and everybody who's in hell is cast into the lake of fire.
So they're the ones that are judged.
Everybody, we're not in this judgment. Our judgment is the judgment seat of Christ.
Right, and when he judges us, it's by what we've done and what we haven't done. Though,
in
right?
the body.
Right.
And it is stuff like the talents, where he says, I gave you all this, and you didn't do anything with it. What'd you do with it? But he'll say to others, you know, I gave you all this, and you did this little thing over here. That was awesome. You know, it's not going to be like a judgment that we're used to on this planet.
But I mean, we're going to be in heaven.
Oh yeah.
No matter what, we're still going to be in heaven. No matter how we're judged by the judgment seat of Christ.
And the thing about it is, Therese, is we know that God is merciful. He is compassionate. He is not corrupted perfectionists like we are. In other words, He sees the very little things that we've done. The things that we might not even have noticed. It's like I used to do with my kids. And this is me in an immature way of being. And I would teach these kids karate. And you would get some, I still remember the kid, Bobby. Bobby was just radically bigger. And that poor kid was always doing push-ups and standing in Kiva. And he was always getting disciplined by me. But after the discipline, I would spend the rest of the class, and then I would exploit that, so that the other part was totally overshadowed by what he did.
So something that I've done that I don't even realize I've done.
Yes.
He's going to point out and say, please look, look what you did.
And you're going to be
like,
isn't
that something? Aren't you glad?
That's what? Yeah, Therese. Can you even go there?
Probably not. Half the time, I don't even know what I'm doing. So.
He will not forget your works of be they small in your eyes or big in your eyes. They're not the judge. You realize you get rewards for enduring?
Where are you going?
For just enduring.
No.
Really? No, I didn't know that.